The future of the American automobile industry is on display at the annual Detroit Auto Show, though it's far from clear just how much future there will be for that industry. GM and Chrysler needed emergency bailouts from Congress to stave off bankruptcy, though Ford is in somewhat better shape. Now the Big Three and their Japanese rivals are all taking big risks on green cars, vehicles that run entirely or mostly on electrical power, and they bet heavily that this is exactly what American drivers want. But nobody knows for sure, so give us a call. What would convince you to buy an electric car? 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Bill Vlasic is covering the Detroit Auto Show for the New York Times, and he joins us by phone from Detroit, where I hope you managed to dig your way out.
Oh, yeah, we're getting used to all this snow. Good afternoon, Neil.
To extend our poker metaphor, is it too much to say that the Big Three's bet on electric cars is all in?
Well, it seems that everybody is going to take their best shot at this new emerging technology. We've had a lot of experience with hybrid vehicles in the last few years, and there's been some research by companies into fuel cells and certainly flexible fuels and ethanol. But it's apparent that the Detroit companies, as well as Toyota and Nissan and some of the others from Asia, are betting quite heavily on battery-powered vehicles in the future. And we saw several of them here in Detroit this week.
Ford introduced their Project M prototype in Detroit. Did you get a chance to look at it? Did you get a chance to drive it?
I actually had a chance to drive it late last week. Around Dearborn, Michigan, briefly. I think most people consider, when they think of electric cars, they think of these small battery-powered vehicles you see in retirement communities or on campuses, government campuses.
Yeah, golf carts, basically.
Yeah, this thing goes pretty fast, and it was a prototype, so, it's built in a Ford Focus body. You wouldn't have noticed it on the street as anything different, but it's quiet, it's quick, and one thing about the automobile industry, when they try to do something like this, which is a leap forward, they really do pull out all the stops and put a lot of money and effort into it.
Though I gather the rollout was presented with a great deal less fanfare than it might have to greet a new model in previous years.
Well, things are sort of topsy-turvy here in the industry these days. It was a very Spartan show. Obviously, General Motors and Chrysler held back on all the glitz and glamour. They didn't want to be accused of spending taxpayer money on frivolous things at the show. And so there was a very sober sort of atmosphere there. And I think it extended to all the companies. So the introductions were, with I think, a little less hype and a little less dry ice and smoke and blaring music, but no less important to the future of this industry.
Here's an email we have from Phil in the city of Edmond, Oklahoma. I believe that America is holding its breath right now to see exactly what the U.S. automakers are going to do. Whether everyone believes it or not, climate change is here. Of course we will drive electric cars. Energy independence, new economic possibilities. We are ready. Let's move. And please don't make them look like funky Mork from Ork cars, or perhaps not like a Ford Focus.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think, these things evolve, and hybrid cars are now a small but important part of the market. Of course, one of the things we saw in this past year, it's been a very difficult year for the industry across the board, primarily with the economic situation has driven sales down so dramatically in the last several months. But when gas was at $4 and $4.50 a gallon, the hybrids that were on the market and small cars, electric conventional gasoline cars, sales went through the roof. But when gas came down, sales came down just as fast. So it's going to take some time to see how committed beyond the people who really feel they'd love to have an environmentally friendly car, if the average consumer is going to make an electric vehicle their mainstay.
Well, let's get some callers in on this to see if they would buy an electric car. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, email talk at npr.org. Lee's on the line from Lakewood, Colorado.
Hi there. You know, I would buy an electric car in a minute if I didn't have to stop after 200 miles or 300 or whatever the range may be and sit there overnight waiting for it to recharge. My thought would be if we had a series of battery stations around the country the way we've got gas stations, that the ideal thing would be able to pull in, pull out my dead battery, put in a new one, keep going.
And Bill Vlasic, Lee is expressing a concern that a lot of people have about electric cars, though I think he's a little overestimating the range that's going to be offered.
Well, the infrastructure issue is very important. There are big questions of whether or not electric power grids in this country would be able to handle millions of electric cars charging overnight, for that matter. But there are companies, one that we wrote about called Better Place, which are doing exactly what she said, which is setting up test facilities in Japan and Israel to exchange batteries, where you would pull in, you would maybe possibly even lease a battery, and you would just pull in and they would exchange it for a new one. Or
Like the way they do propane gasoline, propane gas tanks.
Something like that. And then there's been discussion that maybe you would even buy minutes on batteries like you do with your cell phone.
Huh.
So all these things are being looked at very seriously. And in many cases, the idea of exchanging batteries on the fly has a lot of promise, because fast charging stations are just... they're very electricity intensive, and you're burning coal there, and it's maybe not solving the problem that people want to solve.
But in terms of the range issue that we mentioned, as I understand it, the Chevrolet Volt, which could come on the market next year, a 40-mile range between charges.
Well, the Volt is a so-called plug-in hybrid. It's really, you drive on the electric, and it also has a small gasoline engine, which continues to recharge the battery as you're going, so you can go 40 miles on pure electric and have an extended range based on your gasoline engine. The vehicle Ford is showing is purely battery, and that's what Toyota is showing as well. And Ford is hoping to get 100 miles range. It is limited, though. These batteries can only, I mean, they're much, much more advanced than they were a few years ago, but still, you know, 100 miles, that seems to be the outset target right now.
All right, Lee, thanks very much for the call.
And thank you. Look forward to new developments.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You just mentioned the how green actually are they. This from Lindsay in Chico, California. I was elated to see the new electric car designs coming out of the Detroit Auto Show. One point of concern for me is how consumers will charge their new green cars. If you're an individual that's invested in solar power for your home, then you will truly be doing something good for our environment by owning one of these cars and charging it using sun power. This is my American dream. However, if you're an average American like me, who would likely charge their electric car by purchasing power from the local or statewide utility, then all you're doing is trading gasoline for electric power generated mostly from coal, carbon for carbon. I hope American consumers connect the dots on this one. Let's see if we can go now to Mariah in Duluth, Minnesota.
Hi there, Neil. My concern with this, I would love to buy a hybrid or electric car, but living in northern Minnesota, where we started off today at 20 below, and now we're up to 5 below, and five months out of the year, we're dealing with a lot of snow and ice. It's just how a car like this would handle these conditions. You know, where I feel living here, having all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive is almost unnecessary.
Well, let's hope it soars into the zeros. Bill Vlasic?
Well, there's two parts of that question. One, I believe that these batteries, as they get developed, will be capable of giving you the kind of power that you need to have four-wheel drive. And depending on the type of vehicle that they put them in, you know, you could probably have some ground clearance like you would in an SUV and get through some of that snow. The bigger question, though, is how competent these batteries will be in extreme cold and extreme heat as well. That's all part of the evolution of it, and I'm sure some of the early buyers will be guinea pigs in some respects for those extreme conditions.
Well, also, my experience with batteries is they're pretty good the first couple of times you charge them, and then they get a little less good.
Well, you know, I'm not a technical expert on this, and some of this stuff is changing as we speak, but they're assuring us, General Motors, in fact, just announced yesterday that they're going to actually build their own battery assembly plant. They'll be assembling cells, battery cells that are produced in South Korea, but they'll be putting them together here. So, you know, the battery is obviously the critical component in this whole equation. And as I said before, the companies, the automakers themselves are putting some of their limited resources, and they are limited, behind some fairly advanced experiments.
Well, Mariah, maybe you can get one with studded tires or chains, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. This from Krista in Sacramento. I bought a small electric car in September 2007, a Zap Zebra. I drive it to work every day, 5-mile commute, and I have saved a substantial amount of money on gas. My electric bills have only increased slightly. I save $180 on my monthly parking permit in downtown Sacramento. My little electric car goes 22 miles per charge and has a maximum miles per hour of 40. I rarely drive my gas car anymore. Electric cars are great. A long-range plug-in hybrid would be a fantastic way to go. And, well, in some respects, Krista is a consumer that Detroit is looking at for these kinds of vehicles, to use it as a second car for the day-to-day commute and you know, have the other car if you're going to drive downstate to see grandma.
Oh, absolutely. I really think that's the way this market will develop, is that people will keep their conventional gasoline vehicle for longer trips, if the snow piles up, whatever, and have the electric vehicle as their sort of daily to and from work or on errands. It's been statistically shown that less than about 75% of the Americans drive their cars less than 40 miles a day, and if that is in fact the case, there is a big market for people to have the electric car just for their sort of routine daily use and a backup fossil fuel vehicle for other things.
We're talking with Bill Vlasic of the New York Times in Detroit, covering the auto show there, about the prospects for the electric car and, well, the big bets that the automakers are making on that vehicle. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get David on the line. David with us from Lexington, Massachusetts.
Hi, Bill, Neil.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I am a science writer, and I also write about cars. And I feel very strongly from a policy point of view, it's important to do anything we can to reduce carbon emissions. However, as a car nut, I happen to love the personality of the internal combustion engine. And I don't know what I'd do with a car that had as little range as the current battery electrics have. I recently also wrote about Better Place for the truthaboutcars.com. And the night after I wrote about it, I had a nightmare where all of the internal combustion cars had been removed from the United States, Deus Ex Machina style. I was driving an electric car. It had the slows, and I had to worry about the range, which was equivalent to a gallon or two in an internal combustion car. So I don't think I'll be buying an electric car unless and until batteries get a decent range. And even then, I'd be reluctant, but I hope that they do get the range, and I hope other people do buy them.
David, thanks very much.
Thank you. Good program.
Appreciate it. This from Amy in Louisville, Kentucky. I have some basic concerns about electric cars, despite the positive spin. There's no infrastructure for repair of these vehicles. You won't be able to take an electric car to your neighborhood mechanic because they won't have the tools or the training to repair the electric technology. It's costly enough to get dealership parts now. And what happens if you wreck an electric car? Obviously, people have a lot of questions about this.
Well, you know, I mean, I got a lot of emails after I wrote this story on Sunday from people mentioning Zap and Tesla, who make the very expensive electric sports car, and some of these smaller firms. I do think that once you get the Fords and Toyotas of the world involved in putting their brands and their infrastructure and dealerships behind it, that changes that considerably. If they believe, and no car is going to be perfect. We've seen, you know, new technologies in the past that, since we've gone to so much computers in the automobiles, it requires a lot of technical capabilities to fix your average car now. But the big question is the range and the reliability. And somebody had mentioned before, them being slow. They're not slow. They can be very fast. It's not so much speed. Most people don't even know how their car works now, to be honest, and they just accept it that it's going to work. The bar I think that electric cars have to climb will be people trusting them. And once they do, and they see that they can save money and get around and do the things they need to do every day and not be stuck with a dead battery on the highway, my guess is that they're going to be accepted, maybe in a small way at first, but that's how things start out.
And Detroit certainly hopes you're right. Bill Vlasic, thanks very much for your time today.
No, yes, sir. Thank you.
Bill Vlasic reports on the auto industry for the New York Times. He's been covering the Detroit Auto Show, blanketed in snow today, and we thank him for his time. Tomorrow, join us. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, will be here, as he is every Wednesday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.